Hey everyone, welcome back to the Life by Taylor podcast where we learn and grow together. Before I welcome you back fully, I will say that it was very important for me to get back on here and make an episode before I leave Greece, but I will be taking a break from working and from content for a month. And by the end of this episode, you will find out where I'm moving to. Once I settle into a new and stable environment in October, I promise you that I'm going to be investing heavily in the podcast. I'm going to add new features to the podcast, really, really give it my full and devoted love and attention because it really is my favorite way to show up and create for you guys. So this is an episode to really catch up because we haven't spoken in a while. For those of you that don't know, my podcast mic was broken. And to be honest, I really try to see everything with a lot of acceptance and meet every circumstance and situation with looking for how it's happening for me. I was feeling really uninspired and really unenergized about showing up and sharing my voice and creating. The last few months have been very much an inward journey of recommitting to who I am, what I want to do, what it is that I want to share more of in the world, what it is that I want to focus on in this next chapter in my life. So I really see it as happening perfectly. Not only did it give me the time and space to really look inward without feeling the need to share and put myself out there and explain every part of the process, but it really made me miss showing up, which I think is really beautiful. I think a lot of times, and I see this happen in a lot of my friends' lives as well, the universe, God, will take something away from us to really help us appreciate it and really help us reset the intention of why and how we actually do want to show up and do want to do certain things. And there were so many moments in the last few months that I wanted to get on here and share and make an episode and really just let you guys in on the things that I'm learning and the new exciting things that are happening. But I really saw it as happening for a reason. And before I take this intentional 4-week break, I thought it would be really nice to get on here. First of all, fill you guys in. I promise that by the end of this episode, you guys will know where I'm moving to next because I do feel like a lot of people are living with me and through me. I really hope that I give you the feeling that everywhere I go, you are with me wherever I am. And I'm really excited to share what this next chapter is going to look like. But before we look forward to a new chapter, I really just want to have this episode of ending my chapter in Greece. I've lived in Greece for 10 months now total, 8 months consecutively, 4 months on this island, Evia, that I live on. And I think it's really hard to look at the whole experience in Greece and really summarize it for you guys. But I really sat and thought about this, and there were a few things that I will take with me that will be core experiences and lessons that came from my time here. 2022 was really a year of external expansion for me. It was the year of showing up in my business and going after my dreams and making money and growing followers online and really doing a lot of external things to grow and evolve. This year is very much an inward growth journey. And of course, it's not as easy to point to the accomplishments or the milestones because they're not really measurable. You can't really see them. I also think the inward growth and the inward work is much harder than the external work. I feel like it's much easier to do external actions or, you know, follow a template to get more followers or make more money, but to really sit with some of the deepest parts of myself, to heal certain parts of myself that have been revealed through my relationship, to open up doors of asking for help in certain areas of my life where I feel that I carry a lot of emotional baggage and trauma has been really, really, really challenging in so many ways. But this past month, I've had a lot of moments where I really got very clear evidence and experiences where I was able to see the growth that I've had, where I saw how I would have reacted in the past. I saw how I would have felt in the past. And I have to say that that inward work, sometimes it feels like there's no end to it. Sometimes it feels like, am I even doing anything? I really want to validate for you that if you are committed to that inner work, if you are committed to that inward growth, yes, there will be moments where you feel the reward. And there will be moments where you really get to meet new and evolved versions of yourself. So that was something that I just wanted to share before I get into some of the things that I've learned. It's really emotional for me to be leaving Greece, to be honest. I didn't expect to feel so emotionally connected and attached to a place, but I was thinking about this a few days ago, and if Israel is the home for my soul belongs in Israel, my soul's home is Israel, Greece definitely has my heart. My heart feels so connected to the people here and the culture and the way of living. And I'm sure it has to do with the immense deep love I share with my partner, who is also very proud of his culture and his people and his country, and his connection to his land is very, very contagious. And I do, on the record, just want to thank him. I really just want to say thank you, my love, for really just doing everything you can to open my heart to this country and show me all of the things that make this place so, so, so special. Of course, Greece is a very diverse place. Greece is a humongous place, and I haven't seen probably even the best of Greece. In my time here, I lived for the entire winter in my boyfriend's hometown in the mountains. It's not the Greece that you imagine or the Greece that you see on Instagram. It is very, very, very different than anything that was ever familiar to me. And I got a chance to visit two of the biggest cities in Greece, Thessaloniki and Athens. But for the last 4 months, we've been living on this peninsula in Evia, and I can make a whole episode on what I learned in my boyfriend's hometown during the winter, because it was a very, very difficult experience for me, if I'm being honest, for many reasons. But I think just the shock of never experiencing winter, being in a place where literally no one speaks English, nobody speaks English. With that being said, it's important for me to say that my boyfriend and his family were so incredibly warm and loving that it's the only reason why I was able to last there. It definitely made it worth it, and I have no regrets for any of the time that I spent there. But when I'm talking about closing this chapter right now, of course, there are some things that are relevant in general. I really want to focus on the last 4 months we spent here in Evia, because it's actually been a dream, and it's been such a magical experience, which again, wasn't always easy, but I think this was genuinely one of the most incredible summers of my life. So before I get into Evia specifically, I just want to say that the thing that Greece has brought out in me the most is the simplicity that exists within me and how passionate I am about simple living. To me, simple living does not mean that you live on a farm with goats and chickens away from civilization. To me, simple living means minimizing the list of things you need in order to be content and at peace as much as possible. We live on a resort, which is technically a salina, but I have a lot to say about that I'll just keep to myself, because it didn't really develop into a salina. And the resort was full of families. This entire 4 months, most of the guests here were families. A lot of them were Israeli. I would say the majority of them were actually Israeli, which was funny. And there's a lot to learn when you're observing people on the other side of a service experience. I've been a waitress before. I actually waitressed a lot when I was in university and when I finished the army. But watching the way certain families handle certain situations when they're on vacation just really let me see from the outside and really reinforced in me this belief about keeping things simple for your own peace and the freedom that comes with being a simple person. So first of all, to be fair, I will say that nothing here has been perfect. Nothing here has run smoothly. And this entire place has really been a shit show. And yet, it's in a beautiful location on the sea, really non-touristic place in the middle of nature. If you follow me on Instagram, you've seen, like, it's not fake, it's real, it's beautiful here. The sunsets are amazing, the trees are amazing, the water is amazing, the wildlife is amazing. And there would be families that come here that spend their entire vacation complaining about what isn't working and what isn't good and how things aren't run smoothly. And other families would come and really just accept, you know, whatever isn't perfect or it didn't meet their expectations, and really, really make the most of the simple beauty and the value and the simplicity that is all around here. It honestly made me think a lot about where I come from, originally from LA, and how the people that I know that I grew up with, and probably even some of the people in my own family, have such high standards to enjoy themselves. It has to be the nicest, cleanest, best resort for them to be in peace and relax and enjoy an experience like this. Something that I feel incredibly grateful for is that my life played out in a way where I was born into that and somehow unlearned it, which really gives me hope that people can unlearn this and can come back to the simplicity of who we are and the simple conditions we need to actually enjoy ourselves and thrive and have beautiful experiences. But really, just being here in general, I constantly was reminded how in life we really, really don't need so much to be happy. The sun, like being in nature, having good food, having good company, feeling loved and loving people is truly the only thing we need. it's nice to want things and it's fun to want things. And I actually do have things that I miss and desire and things that would be genuinely nice to have and experience in my life. I'm not saying that for the rest of my life, I'm never going to go to a nice hotel, nice resort, buy nice things. But again, there's so much freedom and not needing them. There's a lot of freedom that comes with that also now with where we're moving, where we know, my boyfriend and I, that we're very low maintenance and we can fulfill our passions and do what we want and fulfill our dream life because we don't need much to be happy. So I do actually want to talk about this for a minute because I do think that from the side, it's like, oh, Taylor just gets to live her dream life and do what she loves. Like she only works on the things that she loves for a living. I wish I could be like that. To put things into perspective, I've been living in a basement room for the past 4 months. And before that, I was living in a tiny, tiny, tiny apartment that the cost of rent is like $200 a month in a place that is very different than anywhere I've ever lived in my life. And that is what allows me the freedom to enjoy my life and do what I love. Because if I needed to live in a super, super nice apartment and I needed to have the best living conditions and I needed to have all of these things to feel good enough to pursue my dreams and do what I love for a living, that I probably wouldn't have been able to afford the life that I live right now for the past year since I left LA. So it really taught me that less is more. And the more simple I am in the list of things that I need, the list of conditions I need in order to find contentment. And Naval Ravikant actually talks about this a lot. Like you should have a very, very, very small list of things that you need in order to be happy. Because everything you add on that list is just a road to dissatisfaction and unmet expectations and unnecessary suffering. So being here and just seeing that that is the majority mindset, most of the people in Greece prefer to spend time with their family for lunch than make more money or sit and enjoy their coffee in peace before they rush to get work done. They really prioritize the simplest things in life that we all truly enjoy and need. And of course, being in an environment where that is the mentality, it just strengthens that within yourself. So that's something that I am really, really grateful was strengthened here. Something that I was reminded exists inside of me. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm a simple person. I don't need much to be happy. But to really, really see to what extent and to what level. When I tell you where we're moving and what we're planning on doing, you'll understand how much that actually gives me peace knowing this, because that is something that I will carry within me no matter how much money I end up making, no matter what environment I'm in. I know the truth is that it doesn't take much for me to genuinely feel fulfilled and to be able to enjoy my life. Another thing that happened while we were here for the past 4 months, you know, my boyfriend and I fell in love in Austria last year, and our summer last year was very much the honeymoon phase summer. We obviously did have challenges in the winter when I was going through a lot, but I would say that this time together really, really helped us as a couple because we went through a lot of really good challenges. Like we had good fights and bad fights and learned how to communicate and learned how to understand each other more deeply. We had a lot of quality time in an environment that really allowed us to thrive, but also allowed us to see where we have work to do on ourselves and on our relationship. In the past, I never knew that experience truly, what it's like to have healthy conflict, what it's like to have healthy challenges, what it's like to really go through it with someone and recommit to someone and reopen my heart to someone when they've hurt me or when they disappointed me and vice versa. I was able to see parts of myself that would be impossible to see if I was alone or in a relationship that I didn't feel safe in or I didn't feel secure in. And I'm really proud of us. I'm proud of myself, I'm proud of him, and I'm proud of us as a couple for the obstacles that we have faced and how we actually grew stronger through each and every single one of them. It was very reassuring for me. I also was confronted with my fear of divorce, which I never knew I had so deeply, probably because I never actually saw a future with someone. So it was never triggered on the level that it's been triggered recently. And that fear actually opened this box where for the first time in my life, I cried hysterically more than once about my parents' divorce. When my parents got divorced, my dad, with the best intentions at heart, was very adamant about my brother and I not seeing ourselves as victims and really focusing on where we're still blessed in life and what we do have. And it never really gave me permission or encouraged me to grieve what was lost or to feel the pain of what I felt as a child whose family was being torn apart. And as I noticed that I have this really deep-rooted fear of divorce, when conflict arises, I think, oh my God, is this a sign that we're not a good couple? Is this a sign that we're going to break up? Is even when it's, you know, normal, healthy conflict, seeing how sensitive I am to that and realizing how much it shows that I care and how invested I am emotionally in this relationship really opened my heart to my child self when my parents divorced, and gave her permission to be sad about it and not need to override the part of me that is very sad about my parents being divorced. It's like I skipped to the stage of acceptance and understanding and compassion for them, but I never really gave myself permission to just really, really look at my parents as people who did love each other, who lost their family, whose family broke apart as a child, whose family was being torn apart. And it's been so liberating going through the grief and the loss and looking at the fear and recommitting to trusting myself that I can only do the best I can to prevent it. But it's also important to accept that it can happen so that I don't live in this like paranoid reality where I'm avoiding it at all costs. So I end up actually creating it from that fear. A lot can be said about that. I think I can actually do a whole episode about that in the future, about how processing my parents' divorce 15 years later as an adult has had an effect on me, and what it feels like being in a relationship when you don't fully believe in the ability for a long-term relationship to thrive. Another huge lesson that I've learned is that just because something doesn't feel good doesn't mean it's not serving me. And there's a deep intelligence inside of me that can tell the difference between when something does not feel good and it's unnecessary and it's not for me, and when something is challenging as fuck, difficult as fuck, painful as fuck. Sorry for my cursing. That's just how it feels. But there's a deeper, deeper part of me that knows that it's happening for me and that I need the experience. This was something that I experienced a lot in the relationship, where there were things that were very hard for me that would have been much easier to run away from and just say, this isn't aligned and this isn't for me. But sitting with and sitting through and focusing on my part of it, wow, just getting to the other side of that and seeing how important it was that I listened to the part of me that didn't run away from something that was difficult or hard, was a huge, huge, huge lesson for me. I used to really advocate for, if it's not energizing, it's not aligned. If it's not empowering, it's not aligned. Yeah, I think that I outgrew that understanding of life. And there are many things that are deeply difficult, but we know are serving us on a deeper level because we realize that it's ours. You know, there are things that are really difficult in my relationship at times, but I realize this is something that is difficult for me regardless of who is standing in front of me. This is something that is true about me and difficult for me alone, regardless of my partner. My partner is giving me an opportunity to confront it and work on it and work through it. And like I said, if it's a safe space to do that, then it's really, really, really powerful. And it can really help us transform and grow in ways that we can never do alone. So now we're getting to the juicy part, where we're going next. But it obviously has a lot to do with what happened while we were here. Because before we came here, I was, first of all, really excited to get here. I suffered a lot in the winter. We were stuck in his apartment for a long time in the winter, freezing. Like, I hadn't seen the sun. It was the whitest I've ever been. My skin craves the sun. And obviously my skin tone needs the sun. And I was just like, get me to the sunshine immediately, as soon as possible. So I was just counting the days to get here. What happened when we got here, though? Because for a long time, I was like, just get me there. Let's just wait till May, push through May. We'll get to May. Summer will come. Spring will come. Everything will be okay. That was my mentality. Of course, it probably would have helped me to stay more present in the discomfort. But it was like the light at the end of the tunnel for me. I was like, get me to the future. Get me to the future. Get me to Evia. We got to Evia, and you know what happens when we're so focused on a point in the future and we frame it in a way where we think that will then make us happy and free. We got to Evia, and the first thing I thought of that week was, where are we going after this? Fuck, what's going to happen? Which triggered a huge, huge spiral of anxiety and fear of the future. At that time, I think I was sharing about my fears of the future and what's going to happen and what's going to be very vaguely without context. But yes, when we got here, I realized, okay, so I met this guy when we both lived in Austria. We were both living for free, la-di-da on vacation. We got to live in Morocco for free. We lived in his family apartment in his hometown for free. Now we're going to live in Evia for 4 months for free. What happens after that? Where do we go? Where do we go where we can both thrive, where I can go after my passion and my dreams? I can have a social life. He can have a social life. He can go after his passion and his dreams. He can work in the profession he actually wants to work in, that he's certified in. And the spiral was insane. I remember it. I didn't have a moment of peace, even though I had 4 months ahead of me to just be here fully. I was not able to be here until I knew what was going to happen next with certainty. The only thing that got me out of that spiral was just coming up with a temporary potential option of where we could live next. So I would talk to my boyfriend and tell him, okay, maybe we should just move to Athens. Athens is a good place for us to live. It's close for me to get to Israel easily. I know friends there. I can have a social life. You can obviously thrive there. You speak the language. You can do what you want to do for work. And it just made sense as like a potential option that sounded realistic, that we could both agree on, that just was like a logical choice. Having that as an option gave me space to just relax. And even though I wasn't fully sure of it, even though I wasn't fully excited for it, I said, okay, like that just closes. That gives me a little bit of peace of mind, which I just want to recommend. Sometimes it's just having a option can give us a lot of peace to relax and surrender and be in the present. So that's what I did. And I just kept telling myself, listen, there's an option in the horizon. Enjoy this summer. Trust the process. Trust what happens here. Be in the moment fully. Enjoy your time here. You wanted to be here so badly. Be here fully and everything is going to work out. At some point, I don't remember when, I reached out to my friend Neil, who is an angel reader and just a good friend of mine. I don't remember why I reached out to him initially. I think it had to do with some career stuff I just wanted to consult with him on. And we scheduled an appointment, but he was traveling. So we had to like schedule a month and a half in advance for our session together. And I just kept going on with my life. Like, we didn't really think of any other options. We're like, Athens it is. I had never even visited Athens. And about 2 months ago, I had family visiting. So we had to go to Athens to go pick them up from the airport. So we said, maybe we should go like spend 2 nights in Athens so that I can also see the vibe, see, you know, the energy of the place. So at least like this thing isn't something that's so abstract in my head. Like, I can actually visualize where we're going to live and how we're going to live. My boyfriend warned me for a while, like that I will not like Athens, just knowing who I am. He knows how important it is for me to be in places that are spacious, where I have easy access to like nature and see green and an open sky. And that's my luxury. Like that's what I want in life. I just want to be able to see grass and flowers and sunshine. And he knew that that's not going to happen there. So he didn't push too hard. He just said, let's go. Let's see the vibe. When we got to Athens, it was great. By the way, we had a really good time. It's a fun city. But immediately inside of me, I was like, no. Like energetically, this is not for me. This is not the place for me. And I didn't know how to tell him. I didn't know what to say. I also was afraid to say it because the next thing that would happen is we would start questioning where we are going to go and I would spiral again. So I just kind of tried to relax myself and tell myself, okay, I only saw the city center. Athens is a humongous city. There are areas near the beach. There's others. Parts of Athens. I don't need to jump to conclusions. On our drive to, I think, the airport to pick up my family, I like said to him, baby, listen, like, I don't know, like something about this place, like there's like dirty energy, like something is dirty here. It's not just filthy, which it is pretty filthy, kind of like New York vibes, like very not clean place. But something about the energy, that's the word I use. It feels dirty to me. And he said, I told you, like in a cute, funny way, like laughed at me. He's like, but there are other places we can check. Like, let's just like give it time and see. We get my family from the airport. We go back to Evia. And that was the night of my appointment with Neil, my session with Neil, like a month and a half later. So I was like, oh, this is such weird timing. Like, we're just getting back from Athens. My family's here. And I was like, okay, guys, I'm sorry. I booked this so much in advance. Let me get on the call. So I get on the call with Neil, and initially we were not going to talk about where I'm going to live because I thought that's already decided on. So I start and tell him, listen, this is my question about my career, about pivoting in certain ways and new ideas I have. And then I said to him, actually, I would also love some advice on my environment, what my next environment should be. So he starts, you know, doing his thing, communicating, and he starts telling me, listen, Taylor, there's a place that you wanted to live and you changed your mind, like something like you thought it's not, you think it's not realistic or something. And in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, Athens. Like I thought that it was realistic. I thought I want to live there, but in the end, I don't. And he's like, no, for some reason, I don't think Athens is the place. And I'm like, what? So like, where could it be? He's like, no, it's somewhere that you wanted to live that you think is unrealistic to live. And you like entertained it for a minute and in a second, like just changed your mind. I said, okay, that's interesting. I have no idea. So I said, wait, can we just confirm like that it's not Athens? Like, can you ask for something else? Like, I really am confused now because it could be Athens. It could be another area of Athens. I don't know. He goes, okay, I have something really random that I'm hearing, and I don't know if it's going to make sense to you, but I'm trusting that it is, so I'm just going to say it. Is that okay? And I said, yeah. And he goes, no dirty streets. No dirty streets. And I look at him, and I said, what did you just say? Shut up, because that's the only adjective I described when I told my boyfriend that I don't want to live in Athens. He said, you can't live on a dirty street. I looked at him in shock, to be honest, and I said, okay, so it's definitely not that. Where is it, though? And I just said, okay, I guess I'll give myself some time. Maybe I'll remember. Maybe it'll come to mind, but nothing came to mind in that call. 3 days later, we were spending time at the pool with my cousins and my boyfriend. And my boyfriend and I were talking to my cousin about our future plans. And we said, yeah, like we're kind of thinking of Athens, maybe a different area in Athens. Like we're not quite sure. We're still thinking about it. My cousin looks at me and she says, Taylor, come to Hawaii. And the crazy part about Hawaii is that months ago, really probably like 10 months ago, my boyfriend said, why don't we go move to Hawaii if you don't want to live in LA? Like we can still be in America, be somewhere that's like more fits our lifestyle more and what we like and what we want. And immediately I said to him, no, that's not realistic. What are you going to do in Hawaii? How are we going to make it work? Like that's just doesn't, there's no way. And anytime I went to Hawaii to visit my family and my cousins, for those of you that follow me for a long time, you know how much I love being there. And every time I've been there, there was like a part of me that felt like maybe I could live here one day, but I didn't really think it was realistic or possible. So in a second, I just realized, holy shit, this is the place he was saying. This is the place. This is the place that I said was unrealistic. This is the place that we thought about and I completely rejected immediately. To the point where my boyfriend looked at me and he said to me, oh, you trust it when she says it. Like now it's realistic. But when I said it, you said it wasn't realistic. He didn't even know about the conversation and he used those words. So I was just like freaking out, honestly. And as I ran questions by her, there was nothing that didn't just have a really clear, simple solution to. And I could not come up with a reason why we shouldn't move there. As time has gone on and as this idea has become more and more actualized, I'll say we did decide that we are going to move to Hawaii together, which is super, super exciting. More and more, it just becomes more clear. It's crazy to me. My cousin, she was 7 months pregnant and she traveled here and it is not easy to get here. She like traveled from Hawaii to Israel to Greece. She was in a 4-hour car ride that's like in the mountains with her daughter and 7 months pregnant. And knowing my cousin, that's like very insane that she even agreed to do this. But we both felt like she didn't even have a say in coming here, truly. And it all just feels super, super, super divine and aligned. Even the way we found our apartment, the apartment number, the unit number, the proximity it is from her apartment, just everything has been happening in a way that's like, this is not us doing this. I mean, it's really hard not to think about the fact that my grandmother basically raised my older cousin and we have been her favorites always. And when I went to the reader before I went to Austria, the one who told me I was going to meet my boyfriend, he told me, yeah, you have an older cousin. Like your grandma wants you to know that like she's with both of you. She's protecting both of you. Like you guys are her favorites basically. And of course I cried. I told my cousin that, but we really feel like my grandma is doing this. She's about to have a baby. She's doing this for her. She's doing this for me. My cousin loves Hawaii, but the thing that she's wanted the most is to have family close to her. And this is like a dream come true for her, obviously for her daughter too, who I'm very close to. And it just feels right. It just feels perfect for the time being. Of course, you guys know me. Nothing is forever with me until, you know, I'm in a moment and I decide to choose it forever. So this is the next step. This is the next chapter for us. We're all going to Hawaii, guys. And I'm so, so, so excited for it, to be honest. As much as I loved this digital nomad lifestyle of moving from place to place and living in Europe and living in Morocco and Austria and going to Ecuador and India and all these things, I have to say that there are certain things I really crave about having a stable environment and lifestyle. It's been so hard to maintain a healthy routine, cook for myself, have stable Wi-Fi consistently, just invest in my passions and grow my business and launch new projects that I've wanted to launch for so long. So I really, really, really cannot wait to have that very, very, very soon. So I'm recording this on August 25th, and in about 4 days from now, I'm traveling to Tel Aviv and then to Croatia for my dad's 60th birthday. After Croatia, I'll be in Tel Aviv for another 10 days, 2 weeks to pack my stuff from Israel and to say bye to people and spend time with my loved ones in Israel. And then I'll be flying to LA with my boyfriend and from LA to Hawaii. There's so much on the horizon. Like in 4 days from now, I'm just going to be like, go, 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 expansion, growth, like a lot of shifts, a lot of changes. And I'm really just trying to sit with the end of my time here to really close this chapter and honor the time that I've had here without getting too stressed or anxious about what's coming next, really just letting myself be in the end of this episode and chapter of my life, because it's been so intense and so healing and so challenging and so, so, so beautiful. And it's been so nice having you guys here and sharing it with you. I remember almost like 3 years ago, I was in another relationship living with my boyfriend, fantasizing about being alone, traveling and recording podcast episodes. I didn't even have a podcast then. So there's so many moments where I'm, you know, whipping my microphone out in a tent in Morocco or in my boyfriend's apartment in Greece, or now where I'm like, I actualized this, like this came to reality. This happened. Like I fulfilled this dream to do this. And it's been so beautiful. And I just want to celebrate myself for that. In my workshop with Sophie, we talked a lot about the importance of celebrating ourselves, because it's so easy not to, and it's so easy to focus on what we still have to do and what we could have done better and how things could have been different. But consciously celebrating the accomplishments and the growth and the courage that it takes to do the things that we dream of and the things that we need to work on, and just recommitting to living the life that we want to live, is so, so, so important to continue doing that. So the crazy part about this episode is that I'm ending this episode, and probably the next episode you will hear from me will be from Waikiki, which is wild to think about. Unless something inspires me and I feel energized to hop on the mic and share something from LA or from Tel Aviv. But yeah, the next episode I plan on sharing will be from Waikiki, and you can expect weekly episodes from then on. So yeah, I'm just really excited about all of this, and I'm really excited to bring you guys along with me. I love you all dearly, and if you made it this far in the episode, just know that I really, really appreciate the time and energy and presence you give to be a part of this journey with me. It genuinely feels like I'm never alone in it. So that's it for now. I'm gonna go pack my stuff, which I love that I'm saying, because I remember recording the episode of closing the chapter in LA with my suitcases next to me. So I'm gonna go pack my stuff, start packing, and I'll keep you guys updated via Instagram. You know, of course, on my stories, I'm always gonna be sharing the whole path from here to Hawaii. And that's it. So I love you, love you, love you, and thank you for listening. And I'll be back in October. Lots of love.